word when he said that. The Bible says God humbled you because he wanted to test you. He wanted to see if you'd obey him, if you trust on him, and realize that we don't live by bread alone, but we've got to depend on the word of God. Are you with me? In verse 16 of Deuteronomy 8, it goes on and it says, he fed you with manna in the wilderness so that you would become humble and so that your trust in him would grow and he could do you good. You see, the more you trust God, the more you humble yourself before the Lord. The more you humble yourself before the Lord, the more you trust him, the more you obey him. When you're humble, you depend on God. You obey the word of God. Pride is when we think we know better than God. Now, anytime God's word tells you to do something and you do the opposite, you just stepped into pride. Because what you're saying is, I know more than God knows. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 10. Jeremiah 44, verse 10 says, they have not been humbled to this day, nor have they feared. They have not walked in my law or my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. He said, they haven't been humbled. They haven't humbled themselves. Why? Because they haven't walked in my law and my statutes. In other words, if we're going to walk in humility, we have to be obedient to the word of God and to the commands of God. The more you obey God, the more you demonstrate humility. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Seek the Lord, all you who are humble, and follow his commands. You see, when you follow God's commands, you're demonstrating that you're humble. When you do things your own way, any time that we disobey God's commands, which is found in his word, so any time we disobey the word of God, that is the opposite of humility. Amen. The Living Bible says, all who are humble, all who have tried to obey. You see, we all have times where we know we're supposed to do something, but it doesn't seem fair to us. Maybe to forgive that person who did you wrong, be kind to someone who's not treating you right, to come volunteer and serve at church. I mean, everything on the inside of you will say, I'm not forgiving them. It was their fault. They need to ask me for forgiveness. I don't want to serve in the children's ministry. I don't want to get here early to serve. I'm more qualified than that. But you know what? If you're going to reach your highest potential and become everything God destined, you've got to be willing to humble yourself and do things that maybe you don't like to do, or things that you don't understand. We see this in the scripture with Peter. Jesus used Peter's fishing boat to preach from while Peter was washing his nets because they'd been out fishing all night. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, when he stopped speaking, Jesus said to Simon, his name was Simon, he became Peter, Simon Peter, launch out into the deep, Jesus said, and let down your nets for a catch. Now, Peter could have said, listen, Jesus, I love you, but you're a teacher. You need to stick with your profession. I'm a professional fisherman. I mean, I've got years of training. This is what I've been doing my whole life. He could have let pride talk him out of it. He could have said, I'm an expert. I know what I'm doing. But instead, Peter said in verse 5, Master, we've toiled all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. In other words, you know better. If you say, let down the nets, even though I'm a professional fisherman, I've been fishing all night, I know what I'm doing, and there's no fish biting, but just because you said it, I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to obey what you said. Are you following me? Peter was saying, listen, it doesn't make sense to me, but Lord, I trust you. You know what's best. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to take the step of faith. And the verse 6 says, and when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they filled both the boats, so they began to sink. You see, his promotion was in his humility. When you swallow your pride and you say, this may not make sense to me, but I'm going to do what God's asking me to do. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to be good to that person who did me wrong. I'm going to be my best at work, even though no one's giving me credit. When you humble yourself like Peter, you will see the great haul of fish. You'll see your promotion, the healing, the breakthrough. It's in your humility that God lifts you up. Even Jesus humbled himself. The Bible says in Philippians 2, in verse number 3, don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others also. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. And he was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. Notice that he humbled himself in obedience, because when I obey what God is telling me, I'm demonstrating humility. Jesus humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. The contemporary English version says Christ was humble. He obeyed God, and he even died on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him. God lifted him up. God exalted him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above every name. Are you with me so far? See, it doesn't say that he was obedient because he was so strong-willed. He was so righteous. He always did the right thing. No, even Jesus had to humble himself. It takes humility to walk in obedience. Without humility, Jesus could have thought, hey, I'm the Son of God. I don't have to put up with these insults. I'm not going to go to the cross. I'm not going to go let them beat me and crucify me. It was his humility that kept him from retaliating to the people who did him wrong. It was his humility. That's why Jesus could hang on a cross and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It was his humility. Jesus humbled himself by surrendering to the will of God and obeying the will of God. Jesus said in John 6:38, I didn't come from heaven to do what I want to do. I came to do what the Father wants me to do. He sent me. I didn't come to do what I want to do. He humbled himself. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That's what he prayed in Luke 22. Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Take this cup of suffering from me. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, Father, not my will, but your will be done. See, humility is when you surrender to the will of God, to the ways of God, to the word of God. It's recognizing God knows what is best for me. My trust is in him. Humility is submitting to what the word of God says, regardless of what you think about it. And there are times that God asks us to do things that seem hard. I mean, your flesh will tell you all the reasons why you should, you know, why you should put your boat away and not go back out fishing, why you should tell them off and not bite your tongue, you know. But that's when you got to do like Jesus and humble yourself so that you can become obedient to the will of God. Can you say amen, somebody? You got to put your pride down and say, I'm not going to be offended because they left me out. I'm not going to be too proud to ask forgiveness or to say I'm sorry or to admit that I was wrong. The Bible says in Colossians 3 verse 12, be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Can I tell you, when you are humble, you are unoffendable. You can't be offended when you're humble. The only reason you can get offended is because of your pride. That's what offends people. My pride is offended. But when you truly walk in humility, you cannot be offended. You're unoffendable. When we don't have humility, we think we're always right. We're stubborn, hard to get along with, want to prove our point. Let me tell you, our relationships will be so much better if we will humble ourselves and let somebody else be right sometimes. Honor them by letting them have their way. My wife asked me one time not to use the fancy towels. My wife puts out these fancy towels on the towel rack. But I didn't realize you're not supposed to use them. They're just for show, you see. And so I get out, I'm washing my hands, and I throw my hand on the fancy towel. And she's like, why are you using that towel? I'm like, because it's hanging on. No, that's the fancy towels. You've got to go into the cupboard, and you've got to get the regular bath towel. You see, I thought, I don't feel like going to the cupboard and getting a towel from the cupboard. It's my house, too. I mean, I paid for these towels. Shouldn't I be able to use any towel I want? Pride sometimes causes us to make lame excuses, to be stubborn, only see things our way. The wisest man who ever lived was Solomon, of course, apart from Jesus. And you know what Solomon said in Proverbs 13:10? He said, pride leads to arguments. Be humble, take advice, and become wise. You want to be wise? Be willing to take advice. Pride is what leads to arguments. Proverbs 29 verse 8 says, arrogant cynics love to pick fights, but the humble and the wise love to pursue peace. See, when you walk in humility, you want to pursue peace. It doesn't matter about being right or being wrong. You want to pursue peace. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3 verse 8, now this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another, to demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, kindness toward other believers. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. The 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2 says, we sometimes tend to think we know all that we need to know to answer these kinds of questions, but sometimes our humble hearts can help us more than our proud minds. We never know enough until we recognize God alone knows it all. Hey, listen, God's the only one who knows everything. The Passion Bible says how easily we get puffed up over our own opinions. So one day, I went to dry my hands on the fancy towel, and I felt like I heard something down on the inside here. When are you going to start honoring your wife by doing what she asked you to do? I thought, that could not be God. That could not be God. It's never God when we don't like it. Have you noticed that? There may be things that you don't feel are right, but let me tell you, you don't think you should have to do them. But one way that you honor God is by honoring the people that God put in your life. You know what I'm saying? I thought I shouldn't have to get a towel from the cupboard. I shouldn't have to clean up the mess they made. I shouldn't have to sit in this section of the church that Pastor Steve's asking me to sit in, where it's like ushers asked me to sit. No, I don't want to be told. God is saying, will you do it for me? God is saying, will you get that towel from the closet for me? Will you clean up that mess for me? Will you overlook that offense for me? Will you forgive for me? Will you sit in that section Pastor Steve asked you for me? Do it unto God, because when you honor God, God will always honor you. Amen. Amen. So I found myself, here I am, about to wipe my hands, because, you know, there was a couple of times I wiped my hands on the fancy towel, and then I straightened it so she would never notice it. But now it's like the Lord got involved in it, and he's like, now, I don't wipe my hand on the fancy towel. I go to the cupboard and I get the bath towel. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, honor Christ by submitting to each other. Titus 3 verse 2 says they must not slander anyone and they must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. I wonder how much better our relationships would be if we would start walking in true humility with everyone, honoring the other person, letting them have their way, not always having to be right. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, in every relationship, each of you must wrap around yourself the apron of a humble servant, because God resists you when you are proud, but he multiplies grace and favor when you are humble. Humble, not only does it mean to be brought low, humble also means to have a modest or a low estimate of your own importance. And Matthew 23 verse 12 says, if you have a lofty opinion of yourself and you seek to be honored, you will be humbled. But if you have a modest opinion of yourself and you choose to humble yourself, you will be honored. Romans 12:16, be as mindful of another's worth as you are of your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking you are too important to serve others. But be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Ephesians 2 verse 3. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your heart, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourself. We can all learn from that, can't we? We can all improve in that area, can't we? Amen. I heard about this couple. They argued for years over the best way to get out of their neighborhood. There were two main routes out of their neighborhood. The husband thought this is the best way. The wife thought it was the other way. Every time practically they drove out of their neighborhood, it was a point of contention. And they were great people, but this pride started to tear their relationship apart. One day they heard a sermon like this, and they made a decision. They were going to put their pride away. They were going to stop arguing about petty things. They were going to start treating each other with respect. respect, this message saved their relationship. I believe other relationships could be saved if we would humble ourselves and honor God by honoring the other person. You know, in Ephesians 5:21, it says, honor Christ and put others first. In Romans 12:10, honor one another above yourself. Matthew 19:19, honor your father and mother. Ephesians 5:33, let the wife see she honors her husband. And 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, give honor to your wives. 1 Peter 2:7, honor all people. Honor the king, the emperor. See, God tells us honor everybody, mother, father, husband, wife, emperor, all people, because the healing of your relationship is in your humility. When you humble yourself and do your part to get along, well, Pastor Steve, when he starts treating me better, then I'll start treating him better. Let me tell you, you got to make the first move. Your humility can start the healing. When they see you taking the high road and not being stubborn and not being offended, not having to have your own way, that's when things will begin to change. In Song of Solomon, it says, catch the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. And you might have, I wondered for years, you know, what's that scripture talking about? But then I read it from the Passion Bible. It says, you must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. You see, often it's the little things that show dishonor. Wiping your hand on the fancy towel. I mean, that's a little thing. If I kept doing that year after year after year and my wife asked me not to, that would be showing disrespect continually. That dishonor would become bigger, and before long, these little things are tearing families apart. I'm asking you today to swallow your pride, start walking in humility. What can you do to get along with people better? What can you do to strengthen your relationship? Not what somebody else can do. You can't make them change. But if you'll change, if you'll start treating them with respect, doing what you can do to honor them, being kind, serving them, those seeds you're sowing, they'll come back to you. Just like little foxes can spoil the vine, little acts of kindness can make a big difference. Amen. When Jill saw me not using the fancy towels, and she realized I was doing it just because she asked me to, our relationship went to a whole new level. She started cooking me much better TV dinners than ever before. I'm joking. My wife is an amazing cook. Now, but little things can make a big difference. Little acts of kindness can help hold things together. I mean, how much better would our relationships be if we'd put down our pride, not have to be right all the time, not keeping score, trying to, you know, one-up each other. Well, if you do this, then I'm going to do that. Instead, what if we spent the same energy honoring each other, believing the best, overlooking offenses, showing kindness? You see, the healing is in your humility, not in having to have your own way, not in getting even, holding a grudge. Like, I heard about this man who had a disagreement with his father when he was in his 20s. He was a young man. It turned into a big argument. He left the house very angry. He didn't speak to his father for 30 years. He wouldn't have anything to do with his father for 30 years. And this young man's life was a constant struggle. He just couldn't get ahead, never got any good breaks. He lived in a small apartment with his family. And one day he learned through his sister that his father was in the hospital and he was very ill, and he knew he had to make things right. So he put down his pride and he drove 4 hours to the hospital, and he went in to see his father for the first time in 30 years. And they both wept, and the son said, "Dad, I'm sorry, forgive me, it was my fault." And he started honoring his father. Do you know, not long after that, he got a promotion at work. He'd been trying to get that promotion for over 10 years. All of a sudden, the promotion came through. He didn't know how he was going to be able to send his son to college. But unexpectedly, his son got a full scholarship to college. And then after years of living in the small apartment, all of a sudden, he was able to purchase their very first home. One thing after another started to fall into place. What am I saying? The promotion was in his humility. When you humble yourself under the hand of God, he will lift you up and exalt you. See, when that man, young man made the decision to humble himself and forgive his father, let go of the wrongs, that's when the favor of God just began to be manifest in his life. Because the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, for the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached. What's the promise attached? You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. The New Living Translation says things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth when you honor your parents. You see, pride keeps us from rising higher. Even though that young man's father may have been wrong, when you humble yourself, you can be the bigger person. You can forgive people. You can show them mercy. You can start the healing process. When you humble yourself, that's what gives you the power to become obedient and surrender to God's will. But as long as we allow pride in, we make excuses. Well, no, Pastor Steve, it's not right. They hurt me. It was their fault. That may be true, but holding on to it is not going to make it better if you'll let go of it. And if you'll move forward in your life, God will make it up to you. You'll see God's favor multiplied in your life in new ways. Amen? Amen. Many scriptures talk about the blessings of humble people. In Psalm chapter 18, verse 27, it says, to the humble you bring heaven's deliverance, but the proud and haughty you disregard. Psalm 25, verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. In Psalm 37, verse 11, all who humble themselves before the Lord shall be given every blessing, and they shall have wonderful peace. The Passion Bible says, the humble of heart will inherit every promise and enjoy abundant peace. Psalm 138 says, though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble and he keeps his distance from the proud. Psalm 149 verse 4, the Lord crowns the humble with victory. Proverbs 3:34, he shows favor to the humble. Matthew 5:5, Jesus said, God blesses those who are humble. They will inherit the whole earth. There's so many blessings the Bible talks about that come for humility. In 2 Kings 5, there was a captain in the Syrian army. His name was Naaman. He was a very powerful, influential man. He just helped the Syrians defeat the Israelites. Everything was going great. Problem is, he had leprosy. He was a leper. And he captured a young lady from Israel, and he brought her back. And she became his maid. And when she saw how devastating his leprosy was, she finally got up her nerve and she said to his mistress in 2 Kings 5, she said, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Naaman could have thought, who are you to tell me what to do? I'm the captain of the Syrian army. And now you are a slave, a teenager, a woman, you're telling me to go back to the nation I just defeated and ask them to help me? I don't think so. He could have done that. He could have been offended. He could have dismissed it. But something down inside him told him she knows what she's talking about. And Naaman told the king of Syria what this young lady had said. And the king wrote a letter of introduction for Naaman to the king of Israel on Naaman's behalf. So Naaman headed out toward Israel, to a land that he had just conquered. Think of the humility it took for him to go back to a land he just conquered, asking for their help. He had to take advice from a maid and be willing to go to another country to admit he needed help. If he'd been too proud, he would have stayed home. Sometimes your answer won't come from the people you're expecting. Sometimes your answer won't come from people that look just like you, from people in your same culture or people that you used to. Sometimes you got to do like Naaman. You got to get out of your comfort zone. And you got to be willing to listen to somebody, maybe like this maid, someone that's under you, who doesn't have the training and experience that you have. But the key is to honor everybody, to treat everyone with respect, to value everybody's opinion. Because sometimes the answer you're looking for won't come from the person you thought it would. If Naaman had dismissed his maid, he would have missed his miracle. Don't judge the people God put in your life by the outside, by titles, position, or even by wealth, deciding what's important and who you're going to listen to. God can use anybody. Let me tell you right now, God spoke through a donkey. Naaman arrived in Israel with his huge entourage. He had horses and chariots and 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold. He handed the letter to the king of Israel. The king was upset. He said, "Do you think I can heal you, Naaman? Why are you asking me for help? Are you trying to pick a fight with me? I can't heal you." But when the prophet Elisha heard about it, he said, "Send him to me and he'll know there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman travels to Elisha's house a great distance. He gets to his house. He knocks on the door. Elisha's assistant comes to the door. He says, "I'm Naaman. I'm here to see Elijah." Elisha's assistant says, "I know, but Elisha's very busy. He can't see you right now. He sent me to come and see you." Now, Naaman was used to dealing with heads of nations. He gave advice to the king of Syria. I'm sure he thought, "Does Elisha know who I am? Does he know who I am? Does he realize how far that I've traveled to come see him? And he can't even be bothered to come to the door." The Bible says in 2 Kings 5:10, Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message: "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you'll be healed of your leprosy." Now look at all these times that Naaman had to put down his pride. A young maid, first of all, told him what to do. Elisha's too busy to come out and see him. Now he's told he's got to go wash in a dirty river. These were all tests. Let me tell you, on the way to your miracle, there will be a lot of opportunities to let pride talk you out of it. It may not happen the way you think. It may not happen through the people you think it's going to happen. But you got to stay open. Don't put God in a box. Don't write people off because they don't look like you, or they don't live in your neighborhood, or they don't attend your church. God likes to do unusual things, family. Naaman almost talked himself out of it. He'd done well up to this point. But when he was told to go wash in the Jordan, I mean, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. He was angry. He said, "No way, that's a dirty river. There's much better rivers back in Syria. Let's go back home." But the Bible says in verse 12 of 2 Kings 5, he turned, he went away in a rage, and his servants came near and they spoke to him. They said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says, go wash and be clean?" Notice again, it was his servants who spoke up and gave him advice. Not a peer, it wasn't a prophet, wasn't the king. It was his servants that spoke up, someone he wouldn't normally listen to. And they said, "Man, if the prophet asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you do it?" So Naaman listened to them. He humbled himself. He went to the Jordan. He washed. He dipped in 1 time. Nothing happened. 2 times, nothing happened. 3 times, nothing happened. He looked at his skin. He thought, "Man, if it was going to work, surely I'd see some improvement by now." He was tempted to get discouraged, but he just kept on washing. I mean, imagine the humility, washing in your enemy's dirty river again and again and again. Every voice is telling him, "Naaman, you look like a fool, man. You're just wasting your time." But the Bible says in verse 14, he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was completely healed. Praise God. Let me tell you, God is showing us that the healing was in the humility. See, when you humble yourself and do what God is asking you to do, even when it doesn't make sense to you, you forgive the person who did you wrong. You're kind to that coworker who betrayed you. You take advice from someone not in your normal circle. As you pass these tests and you humble yourself, you'll see things begin to change in your life. The blessing is in the obedience. The way to be obedient is to walk in humility. Because without humility, we all make excuses. "Well, I'm not going to listen to the maid, you know. What does she know anyway? I'm not going to do this simple thing, washing in the Jordan River now. I can go wash in the river back at home. I'm not going to serve in children's ministry. I'm not going to be a greeter at the door. I want to be on the platform, man. I don't want to help on the media team. I don't want to get here early. Let somebody else do that. I don't want to do that." Let me tell you, when you do what God is asking you to do, man, you humble yourself. You don't overanalyze it. You don't reason it out. You just do what God is asking asking you to do. Well, Steve, you know, I've been doing it a long time. Nothing's changing. You're right where Naaman was. Six times, nothing happened. That didn't mean something was wrong. You're right on schedule. Let me tell you the good news. You're about to come into your seventh dip where suddenly the healing comes, suddenly the promotion comes, suddenly the breakthrough comes. You just keep on doing the right thing. You're close to your seventh time in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Let me tell you, when you humble yourself, there's a due time. God's already established it where he's going to catapult you ahead. He's going to lift you up in due time. You come up out of, and you come up from your seventh dip. It's your due time. Let me tell you, all the forces of darkness cannot stop you. When God is ready to exalt you, he will lift you up. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to get you to the next level in your life. Amen. He knows how to cure the leprosy. It may not happen the way you thought, with the people you thought, on the timetable you thought, but if you'll keep walking in humility and being obedient, you'll come into your due time where God does more than what you can ask or what you can even think. Amen? I love the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The young man left home, wasted his inheritance, living wild, partying, making bad choices. He finally ran out of money, ended up working in a pig pen, feeding pigs. There was a famine in the land, and he had to eat the pig food to survive. And he was miserable, depressed, dirty. It was nobody's fault except his own. And one day, sitting in the pig pen, he thought to himself, man, the servants in my father's house, they eat better, they live better than I'm living. I should go back home. Something came alive on the inside, a spark of hope. He was excited. He thought to himself, what am I talking about, man? I can't go back and let them see me like this. I look like a fool. I can't admit that I made a mistake. You see, pride rose up, tried to keep him and stop him from going back home to his father's house. But the scripture says in Luke 15, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father, and I will say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. What was he doing? He was humbling himself. He came to the point where he humbled himself. He was willing to admit his mistake. He put his pride down and he headed home. But the Bible says his father was waiting for him. His father was watching for him. He saw him from a great distance, you see. He was waiting for his son, and he came running toward his son. When he saw his son coming home, the father came running towards him. He grabbed his son. He gave him a big hug. His son didn't even have a chance to humble himself and say, I'm sorry. His dad just grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him. He told the servants, put the best robe on him, put the ring on his hand, kill the fatted calf. We're going to eat. We're going to party. My son was dead, but he's home again. He was dead, but he's alive. Let me tell you, or you may be letting pride keep you out of the Father's house, worried about what people will think, your image. Can I tell you, we've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. We've all gotten off course. Don't let pride hold you back. There are people watching me right now. God's calling you back. You haven't been going to church, but God's calling you back to his house. The new beginning is in your humility. When you do like this young man and you say, God, I admit I've missed, I've blown it, I've done wrong, I'm not where I should be, but I'm ready. I'm coming back home, Lord. Let me tell you, God receives you with open arms. God, he is waiting on you, man. He throws a party for you. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm so glad that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. God receives you with open arms. Amen. That's the first step to getting out the pig pen. You don't have to be perfect. God's not looking at your performance. He's looking at your heart. Well, Steve, I don't have it all together. Let me tell you, none of us do. It's our weakness, in our weakness, that God's power shows up the greatest. Amen. When you come to God with humility and you ask Him to help you, He'll not only receive you, but He'll do like He did for the prodigal son. He'll put a ring on your finger, signifying your authority. He'll give you a royal robe of righteousness, signifying His favor. He'll say, let's have a party. He'll celebrate you, and He'll take you further than what you ever could have imagined. Amen? Let me tell you, the new beginning, the promotion, the healing, it's in your humility. Let me tell you 23 ways to humble yourself. I'm just going to read them out. I could preach a sermon on every point. On every point, I could preach a sermon. I'm not going to do that because I already preached a sermon, but I'm going to give you 23 ways to humble yourself. And I would suggest, if you got your camera, take a picture of it. Or go back and watch this live stream on Facebook or on YouTube, and if you go watch it again. But I'm going to just read them out, okay? 23 ways to humble yourself before God. First of all, pray. Praying is humbling yourself. Number two, worship God. Number three, read your Bible. Do what it says. That's humbling yourself. Number four, obey God. Number five, ask forgiveness from God and from people. You got to regularly ask God to forgive you and confess when you miss it. And when you offend somebody, ask them to forgive you. Admit when you're wrong. That's a way to humble yourself. Admit when you're wrong. How about this? Tithe and give is a way of humbling yourself before God. Because you're recognizing, Lord, everything that I have is from you. It's showing your gratefulness. Then, how about this? Submit to authority. Number eight, you humble yourself by submitting to authority. Number nine, listen to advice. Listen to other advice of other people. Number 10, don't insist on your own way. Number 11, you humble yourself by surrender to God's will. That's a big one. Jesus said in Luke 9, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life, completely embrace my cross as your own, and surrender to my ways. If you want to be Jesus' example, you want to be Jesus' disciple, you got to surrender. Deny yourself. Humble yourself. Lord, not my will. Your will be done. Surrender to His will. Another way to humble yourself, number 12, serve other people. Another way, humble yourself, serve at church. You want to walk in humility? You should be serving at church on a team. A great way to show, humble yourself. And everybody said, amen. And everyone who's not on a team said, I'm going to get me on a team today. I'm going to start volunteering. Another way that you humble yourself is don't take offense. Humble people can't be offended. Another way, don't judge people. Don't talk bad about people. Talk good about people. Number 16, prefer others before yourself. Number 17, be considerate in your conversations. Listen more and talk less. Number 18, be grateful, not boastful. Number 19, avoid bragging. Number 20, practice gentleness and kindness. Number 21, be quick to forgive. 22, remain teachable. Receive correction and feedback from others. Proverbs 12, verse 15, a fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. Number 23, accept a lowly place. Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 7, he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places. He said, when you're invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit in the best place, lest one more honorable than you come and say to you, and they say to you, give this place to this man. Then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go sit in the lowest place. So when he who invited you comes and says, friend, go up higher, then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. I'm asking you today to put your pride down, humble yourself, start doing what God asks you to do. Maybe He's asking you to forgive somebody. Maybe He's talking about treating someone better or maybe it's a step that seems backward. Maybe He's talking to you about starting to tithe faithfully. Let me tell you, that's a major way that you show your humility to God. I recognize, Lord, that one-tenth of everything that I the first dime of every dollar, Lord, belongs to you. That's humbling myself. It's recognizing I'm depending on you. Yeah. Amen. Let me tell you, if you put your pride down, don't talk yourself out of what God is telling you to do. Do what He's telling you to do. You're setting yourself up for a due time. I believe and declare because you're humbling yourself, God is about to exalt you. In the name of Jesus, like Naaman, you're going to come up out of your seventh dip, and suddenly the healing's going to come, the promotion's going to come, the vindication's going to come, the freedom, the abundance, the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. Do you receive it today? Do you receive this today? Come on, lift your hand to heaven. Say this. Say, Lord, I humble myself before you today. I humble myself under your mighty hand, and I recognize that you know best. I submit myself. Lord, let your will be done in my life, not my will be done. Say, I humble myself, Lord, by following your word, by being obedient to you, by being showing kindness to others. In the name of Jesus, tell your neighbor, I'm humbling myself. I'm humbling myself. You hear about the man who was the most humble man in the church. They gave him a badge, the most humble man in the church. When he wore the badge, they took it away from him. Praise the Lord. Bow your head with me, would you? Father, I thank you for every person that's here today, every person watching this today. Lord, I thank you that as they humble themselves before you, that you lift them up in due time, that you bring promotion, you bring blessing, you bring breakthrough in Jesus' name. While eyes are closed, while heads are bowed, we never ever close a service here at Ascend Church without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is right, all is well between you and God. Listen to me, if you're watching this today, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you were to die today, can you say you know for sure that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. You can know that. You can leave here today. You can know for sure that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven's a real place. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. I want to make sure that everything is well, everything is right between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. If that's you, I want you quickly, if you want to be included in this prayer, I want you to just shoot your hand up, lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, I see that, then you're included in this prayer. Just put it up high right now. Say, pray for me too, Pastor Steve, even if you're watching this. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you get saved. That's how you can know you're going to heaven, is you believe that Jesus died on that cross. He took your sin. He rose from the dead. And you confess him to be the Lord of your life. We're going to do that right now. I want everyone to say this prayer. If you lifted your hand, even if you didn't, everyone watching this, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin. Lord, I believe Jesus has been raised from the dead. And I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. Say this, say, I surrender, I humble myself, and I surrender to you, Lord. From today, I'm going to follow you. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Say amen and amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give God thanks and praise. Will you do that today? Praise the Lord. Now, you know, we spoke about, you're going to get ready to talk a little bit about giving. You go ahead and do it.
No, you say it.
No, you do it. You got it.
It's
I've said
funny.
Enough.
I'm being humble. I'm letting you do it. I like this message. Pastor Steve was trying to tell me something yesterday, and then he said, in my humble opinion. I was like, I like that. Let's make that a common theme, right? Praise God. Good message. Good word. Character building, right? Now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And just like Pastor Steve said, tithing is a demonstration of humility, because it really is. I mean, you talk about tithing being a test. It really is about, do you recognize that everything you have comes from God? That's very humbling, isn't it? Everything we have comes from God. So let me just read to you just a couple of verses from Deuteronomy 8, which is the one you talked about, the Lord taking them through the wilderness. But God said this. He said, make sure that you never forget the Lord or disobey his laws and teachings that I'm giving you today. If you will always obey them, you will have plenty to eat. Say, plenty to eat. It says you'll build good houses to live in. But when this happens, don't be proud. Say, I mustn't be proud. He says, don't forget that you were once slaves in Egypt and that it was the Lord who set you free. And when you become successful, say, when I become successful, don't say, I'm rich and I've earned it myself. Instead, remember the Lord your God gives you the strength to make a living. That is how he keeps his promise he made to your ancestors. So he's saying, don't get proud. He said, even when God blesses you, even when, I think you, the more you have, the more chance you have of being proud, right? Sometimes, although I've seen proud people who don't have much, but the more you have, you begin to think of your own ability and your own strength. And he says, be careful not to, but remember it is the Lord your God that gave it to you. So tithing, when we bring our tithe, and I just want to say thank you to those who blessed me for my birthday last week. You're so generous and kind, and I don't take it for granted. But you know, even that, I see what I'm given, and I the first tenth of that goes to the Lord, because everything I have comes from God. Amen. And so just have that attitude. Having that attitude keeps you humble before the Lord, and it puts you in a position for him to take care of you and bless you. So the different ways to give, there's the envelopes right here, the ways to give up on the screen. If you're watching online, you can just click on the link. You can go to ascendchurch.us. Very simple. If you've never done it before, giving online is a one-time. You'll set up a password, and it's so easy after that. So thank you to those who give during the week, those who give recurring. We appreciate it. Pastor Steve, are we come and pray over the people as we close. Let me just say, I'm sending out that I'm doing a 6-week Zoom Bible study for the ladies on the book of Ephesians. So I'm going to send out a text this week, and I hope you can join us. Two options. One is on Wednesday morning, and the other one is on Thursday evening. So I'll send that out.
The Zoom Bible study.
Yeah.
You did this week.
I did. I started week one on Thursday night, but we're going to do it on Wednesday Great. Morning as well.
Praise God.
Pray over them.
Father, we thank you for every tither and giver, Lord. Lord, we know that our giving demonstrates our humility to you. Lord, that we trust in you. We recognize that every good thing in our life, it comes from you, Lord. And we just thank you for the windows of heaven that are open above us. You said when we bring the tithe into the storehouse that you would open the windows of heaven. You would pour blessing upon us. You would rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Lord, thank you for blessing your people. Thank you for the windows of heaven that are open above every giver and every tither. Thank you for rebuking the devourer. Thank you, Father, for lifting up your people right now in the name of Jesus, bringing promotion, bringing breakthroughs, favor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. When you sat down today, you should have had on your seat, I hope you didn't sit on this, but this little invitation card that we use, it says you're invited. We put it on your seat because I want to ask you, please, to take those cards home with you. And this week, I want to ask you to use that card to invite somebody to come to church next Sunday with you. I'm asking everybody today to make a determination in Jesus' name that you will invite someone to come to church next Sunday with you. Will you do that for me? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Will you do it for the Lord today? Will you invite someone to church for Jesus today? Then please take that card, invite someone next Sunday. Abel, come tell us Thursday night what's happening. We're starting Thursday night. We're starting a special service on Thursday. It's set from 7 till 9. Abel's going to be leading it. It's all about seeking after God and praying and worshiping, right? Yep. Tell us what the Lord put in your heart, Abel.
Hey, family. So we got some exciting news this Thursday. We're starting our first night for prayer and worship. During the month of January, when we were praying, fasting and praying, I had a prompting from the Holy Spirit to start a night dedicated really to the Holy Spirit and creating space for Him to operate and, more importantly, to host the presence of God, because with the presence, and that's where lives are changed and healings and miracles flow. So, and also Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." So that's kind of been on my mind too.
That's right.
And I started going to a church on Tuesday nights as a young adults group, and they do a prayer and worship night similar to that. So that's kind of given me kind of the clarity of vision. So there's going to be a time of prayer and then a time of worship. But ultimately the goal is to help introduce people to the Holy Spirit, maybe don't know it, and just let Him operate. And then also it's going to, I believe it's going to overflow into the Sunday morning services too. So it's exciting, yeah.
What were we saying? We were in prayer this morning, and Pam kind of had a word, and she saw... Okay, babe. She's sitting in the chair. I'm going to have to get her on the stage to say it. She can't shout it up from up there. Come and tell us what you said, Pam, what you felt the Lord gave you.
Well, this morning, about 3 o'clock, I awakened. And the Lord started talking to me, and I realized, I have to get up and write this down, because you just know when you've got to write it down. And it was about, He's about to pour out the bowls. He's tipping the bowls. And in the book of Revelations, it talks about the prayers of the saints are contained in bowls in heaven. And the bowls will pour out, but we need to be positioned to receive the blessing that will be poured out upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And most of you don't know, I love acronyms, and the Lord is so gracious to me with these acronyms because it helps me remember. Perfect example is trust. Time returned unto the Savior together. Oh, I never forgot that. If you're going to learn to trust Him, you have to spend time with Him, together with Him, spending time. So that's these acronym things, and I got tons of those. But the positioning yourself under the mighty hand of Almighty God is where we will be placed to receive what is being poured out. So position, He talked about humbling yourself. And so I remember a while ago, you were the one who gave me the permission not to listen to what the text that comes out, because I don't want to know what He's speaking about in case the Lord would give me something.
Right.
So I don't listen to those texts.
Because you're here anyway, no matter what I'm preaching about, right?
So it was fascinating that it's about the position. Now, this is an acronym He gave me. I'm hoping I can get it quite right. Position. P is posture. O is obedience. P-O-S, surrender. P-O-S-T, truth. I, indiscriminate. O, open heaven and now. So indiscriminate means He's not going to discriminate against anyone.
Yeah.
If you position yourself, you will receive. So if you have this posture and you're obedient and you have intimacy and you're receiving truth, then we will be under open heaven. And I love that.
So
praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Pam. So that's starting on Thursday at 7 p.m. in the upstairs room. You've got it set up there, the sound system, a piano. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to just let God move in our lives, right?
Amen. Yeah, it starts at 7 to 9.
Amen. Thank you. Muff, where you go, Muff? Where you go? We missed you this morning, man. We missed you. Man, oh, man. If I had a private jet, I could have sent it for you last night. Praise the Lord. Well, stand up with us. Let's worship as we go. What do you say? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. I'm glad you were here today. Come on, sing one more time before we go home. Come on, team.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Dancing, you give beauty for ashes, you turn shame into glory, you're the only one who can. You turn grace into garden, you turn bones into armies, you turn seas into highways.